I'm Skip Hunter, and I'm here today with Brookings City Manager Gary Milliman with another community conversation and a follow-up to the City Council meeting that happened on April 13th. Gary, we're very pleased you could spend some time with us. We know you're very, very busy, but we'd like to get a little more in-depth discussion of a number of topics. But first, I'd like to do a quick introduction. Gary came to Brookings from Southgate, California. He was a city manager in Southgate from 2003 to 2006. He worked as a Southern California director for the League of California Cities from 2000 to 2003 and was a city manager in Fort Bragg, California from 1979 to 1997. And here's a fun one. Gary was also president and the chief executive officer of the Skunk Train, which is a well-known tourist train that goes from Fort Bragg to Willits. And he was in charge of that from 1996 to 2000. So, Gary, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and why you decided to come to Brookings from California?
Sure. Well, I'm a native Californian, born and raised in the Los Angeles area, and attended California State College at Los Angeles and then the University of Southern California. Obtained my master's degree there. Started out my career in the newspaper business. I was a newspaper reporter and editor, and then joined the city staff at the City of Bell Gardens, initially doing public relations work. I was with that city for 6 years, and my duties grew and expanded, and I served as the acting city manager twice during that period. So it got me moving into the city management career. I've served in several cities, the nonprofit at the League of California Cities and the, unfortunately, nonprofit Skunk Train. My wife and I organized a group of investors to purchase the Skunk Train in 1996 to keep it from going into abandonment. And we were able to preserve it with the help of a number of other investors. And ultimately, the railroad was sold to another tourist railroad operator in 2000. So I came to Brookings because I retired in Southgate, and we were looking to relocate back to either the north coast of California or southern Oregon. And some of our family had moved up here, so looked around at various cities and chose Brookings, and they chose me.
Well, as an aside, during the time that you were city manager at Fort Bragg, I also was living in Mendocino County, and I can verify for our audience that you have a very, very good reputation in that community.
Oh, thank you.
You shared a list of topics with us that you felt were important to talk about today, and I'd like to break those topics into a couple of categories, healthcare and city improvements. So let's start with the Gold Beach Hospital Project Plan Checking Agreement with the county. This was discussed at the council last night, and maybe you could give us an idea of what some of the nuts and bolts are of that agreement and what it does for our citizens here in Brookings.
Sure. The Curry Health Network is proceeding with plans to build a new hospital in Gold Beach, and that hospital would be located within the city of Gold Beach. Gold Beach does not have its own building department. They contract with the county for that service. And in this instance, because of the scope of the project, the county requested assistance from our building official, Laura Lee Snook, who's done plan checking for over 20 years, to assist with getting that project out in a timely fashion. So we have entered into an agreement with Curry County to do the plan checking for that project or assist with it. The plan checking for that project, and we'll be billing them for those services. And that's important to us for several reasons. One is that it helps a companion agency get this important project out to completion. And the hospital in Gold Beach is going to be the host, if you will, for the eventual emergency room that will be developed here at the Brookings Clinic.
Yeah, with regards to healthcare for Brookings, could you talk a little bit more about the stellar achievement of getting the state to give an administrative green light for the emergency department at Brookings Clinic?
This has been a multi-year effort to get an emergency department here in Brookings. We have the urgent care facility here at the Brookings Clinic, have had since it's opened here some years ago, but it's not an emergency room. So they cannot treat trauma, cannot render various types of assistance that you would typically find in a emergency room. So we have been working to find a way to get a standalone emergency room or emergency department, as it's known in the industry, located here at the Brookings Clinic. And that we were told a number of times that it's not going to happen. State regulations don't permit standalone emergency departments. And we'll just have to deal with the fact that we're 30 to 40 miles away from the nearest emergency room. Well, the city finally decided, after a number of efforts, to retain the services of a lobbyist, and then shared the cost of that lobbyist with Korea Health Network, and we aggressively pursued getting a rule change at the state, a rule as opposed to a legislative change, but a rule change at the state to allow the state to issue a permit for a standalone emergency department. That required working with the governor's office quite extensively, with the Department of Justice, their legal counsel to the Oregon Health Authority, and really overcoming an overwhelming concern by the Oregon Health Authority that this would open the door to other standalone emergency departments around the state that might compete with existing hospitals in those communities. So we were able to craft a very narrow rule that allows Korea Health Network to move an application through that path to secure a permit for an emergency department. They're now working on putting all of the pieces together to get that accomplished. This will be the first standalone emergency department in Oregon.
Boy, what a lot of obstacles to have to overcome, but certainly a tremendous contribution to this community.
Yeah, it took a lot of tenacity to make this happen, and both the city and the Curry Health Network leadership working in partnership made this happen.
Well, congratulations. Good work. All right. We're going to also talk about city improvements and repairs, which is basically our next topic. There's quite a list of things. So let's start with the Mahar Tribble annexation. There's that word annexation again. Sure. But Gary, if you could tell us what's going to happen and why.
Well, we received some months ago, probably more than a year, an application for annexation by Ron Tribble and Mike Mahar, who own 14 acres of land along the north bank of the Checo River, just outside the city limits. And they submitted an application to annex their property into the city limits and change the zoning designation from primarily commercial to residential. And their goal is to construct up to 59 housing units on that property. They've completed some housing projects here in the city in the past. So the city approved the annexation. A group of citizens appealed that approval to the to LUBA, the Land Use Board of Appeals at the state, and they found that the city didn't quite dot all the I's and cross all the T's, sent it back to the city council on what's called a remand for the council to approve additional information, particularly on the topic of water service. So the city council held that public hearing Monday night, they'll be reviewing a large volume of material that came in during the hearing from citizens, over 300 pages of additional information. And then we'll consider the matter again at their meeting of April 27th. But it would involve the annexation of 14 acres on the north bank of the Chetco River, along the North Bank Chetco River Road. And it's an undeveloped piece of property at this time.
Okay, thank you. Another item are street projects that are planned for 2015 and 2016. And this, of course, ties in with the fuel tax that the city's hoping to get. Maybe because how are we going to pay for this kind of project if we don't have some funding there? So maybe you could elaborate on the projects and their costs and how it relates to the fuel tax.
Sure. Last year, the city completed a new evaluation of its streets. We actually retained a consulting firm to come in and evaluate the condition of every street in town. They did some testing of the streets, looked at the surface, but also looked beneath the surface on those streets, did a complete priority list, and recommended what types of treatment those streets should receive to either rebuild them or preserve them for years ahead, and came up with a 10-year budget to do that, and identified about $250,000 a year in street improvement needs over that 10-year span. So the city currently takes in about $137,000 a year in revenue from its system replacement fee. It's a street system replacement fee that's collected on everyone's water and sewer bill. It's $2.98 a month. So that's not enough to undertake this 10-year plan. So the city council considered other alternatives and noticed that a number of other cities in the state now have enacted local fuel taxes and are using those funds to reconstruct and improve streets. So the council put that on the ballot in May. They are hoping that that will generate about $300,000 a year that could go into this street improvement fund. They would repeal the existing $2.98 fee, replace it with money from this fuel tax. And then the council asked us to come back at this meeting with a first-year program of work, assuming that the $300,000 is achieved. So our Public Works Department took a look at the master plan that was developed, prioritized the streets, and recommended that we start out by preserving streets that could be less costly to treat at this time, and make those streets last longer, well beyond the 10-year period. So we identified about 3 miles of streets that would receive a slurry seal treatment, which is a very light coat of asphalt and oil, which would give those streets a longer life. And then identified 2 reconstruction or new construction projects. One would be a reconstruction of a section of Hassett Street from Old County Road to Pioneer. That estimated cost was about $66,000. And then fill in a gap that now exists in the sidewalk on Easy Street between Dollar General, who put in a lot of new sidewalk there, and just beyond the Lutheran Church. A lot of people walk through there out in the travel way. So the estimated cost of putting that section of sidewalk in with all of the storm drain improvements that would be needed is about $80,000. So those 2 projects, along with about $154,000 in slurry seal projects, are what's planned for the first year, assuming that the fuel tax is approved by the voters in May.
As far as projects goes, the Marine Drive slide repair is a pretty big one. What all has to be done there, and what repairs are expected to become more complicated and costly because of that slide's location?
You know, this kind of relates to the earlier discussion. We've had to defer a lot of street maintenance over the last several years because we've had slipouts like the one that we have now at Marine Drive. It's a slipout that's endangering the street, endangering traffic. It's caused by erosion, failure of the slope adjacent to the roadway. We've had several of these. One that we fixed on North Bank or on Azalea Park Road last year. Another one that we still need to address on North Bank Chitco River Road, where the guardrail is sort of dangling over the river out there. And this one on Marine Drive. So this one, we initially had a contract price of about $58,000 to do the repair work. But now that we're into the design work and evaluating the road condition more closely, we find that there's a need for some additional drainage improvements there to direct water away from where it's causing the problem. So that is adding another $24,000, almost $25,000 to the project. So the total cost of that project is now topped $83,000 just to reconstruct that section of Marine Drive, which is not a heavily used street. And $83,000 is half the total amount of money we have annually for street repair. So it's those types of events can be very costly and interfere with our street repair plans from time to time.
Yeah, that sounds like a real major project to have to complete that. Okay, Gary, I don't want to forget to talk about the water and sewer improvements to the Brookings Airport that you had on your checklist for us to discuss. Can you tell us what that project will entail and maybe its price tag or estimate and how the project's being funded?
Sure. The price tag for that project is $2.2 million. We know the price tag because we have a bid. We actually received several bids, and the low bid is about $2.2 million. The project is funded 60% by the federal government through the U.S. Economic Development Administration. They see the project as benefiting economic development in two ways. One is that it extends water and sewer service to the airport and to a large parcel of county-owned property adjacent to the airport that is zoned for light industrial development. Without this water and sewer project, no additional development could occur at the airport. They currently rely upon a septic system, and the water flow coming to the airport there does not meet fire flow requirements for new construction. So it's important in terms of providing the county and the airport the ability to expand the facilities there. There's a real shortage of light industrial property in the area, and this nexus between some light industrial area right adjacent to an airport, we think, is a good nexus. Additionally, that airport will be a key element of the disaster response and recovery effort in the event of a major seismic event or natural disaster here. It is out of the tsunami inundation zone, so it's important to have the capacity there to support incoming resources that would be staged there. With water and sewer services, and the EDA saw that also as a important economic development activity to assist in having the community recover more quickly following a natural disaster. So the project involves extending water service along Parkview Drive and across the airport to the vicinity of their existing terminal and a little beyond. It also involves extending sewer service along that same route and then constructing a 500,000-gallon water storage tank on property owned by South Coast Lumber Company, I guess that would be east of the airport. So that will add to our water storage capacity as well. It's been a project that's been in progress for almost 3 years now. We've had a lot of work with the Federal Aviation Administration in securing the easements on the airport property. They have been reluctant to grant easements for access across the airport property. Few people know, the city didn't know, and the county didn't know, that a portion of the paved road from the end of the airport leading into the gate of the airport is actually not a public road. It's a road that is on the airport property. It's considered an internal airport runway safety area access road. So that has become a major issue with the FAA in as they perceive it, opening up that road to more public access.
You know, after today's valuable interview, KCIW would like to invite your perspective as a city manager to become a regular part of our citizens involvement programming. So we're hoping that once a month or maybe a couple of times a month when you feel there's a need for more information to be shared, that you can come and let us know and we can share that information with the community. So we thank Brookings City Manager Gary Milliman, and we look forward to a show that is crafted to become hopefully the Gary Milliman Show. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we head out and let our co-producer and tech guy extraordinaire Jim Newman get back on the road and serving that veterans community?
I don't have anything else to add today. I appreciate you being here and allowing me to speak on these topics and look forward to working with you again in the future.
Well, I definitely would like to speak for myself and thank you for your leadership and for the experience that you bring to our community. Our local government has become stable as a result of your steady hand at the helm. This is Skip Hunter and KCIW Curry Community Radio and our new program host, Gary Milliman. And a special thanks to Connie Hunter for co-producing this show. And if you will appreciate the quality programming that KCIW presents, please go online at kciw.org and become a founding member so we can start broadcasting from the City of Brookings antenna.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.